Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Let's go.
I make you go.
My first thought is that no one is dominant. You can make a case for maybe one or two teams that are.
I'd like to beg to differ there. Patrick Mahomes again. I think I showed you that I did the flippy-do, hattie-do. I can make things happen out of nothing. I'm pretty much back to where I was.
Yeah. Mahomes could be the one guy that's a step above the rest of the league right now.
He was playing, as they said, playground football out there. Yeah. He really was. I mean, the guy's improvising like he's Nestor Cortez on the mound.
Is that why I got picked last?
Yes. Yeah. You got picked last, Spotty. But no, really, he's that good. He's doing things that you would just like try to do in your backyard. He's doing in the NFL, but he's doing them at a high level. And like, you know, we've seen this in the past. But then we saw a little bit of the magic, not disappear, but it wasn't going in his favor all the time, right? Now I feel like it's back.
Yeah. Well, you know what Patrick Mahomes does? You know how his dumb fans were all sitting on the couch and we say things like, "Ah, he should have done this," or "Why didn't he see that guy?" Or, "Oh my God, this guy's wide open." "Oh, he missed the first down by a yard," as if the yellow line's on the field. We're such, you know, we're such critics on our couch.
Yes.
But Mahomes does some of those things that you're like, oh,
maybe
wow.
Maybe he does him just to shut up the guy with his beer helmet on and his lazy boy. Like, maybe he keeps him in the back of his mind, like, I know what he's going to think, and I'm going to beat him to the punch.
It's
like,
not easy being green.
Being Mahomes.
It's not. But I did realize that. Do you have lessons from maybe a coach along the way that still to this day are true? Did any of your coaches teach anything along the way?
Yeah. Of course.
So,
but what do you have in mind?
My high school baseball coach was always, he was a great coach.
Yeah, but they taught us a lot of like politically incorrect things. That's why I'm stumped for a second.
Same with mine.
Right.
But I remember one thing he said was, sometimes it's as simple as who doesn't make mistakes, right? And you, he would always say, hey, listen, this is high school baseball. If you make more errors than the other team, you're going to lose. And he's like, I can promise you, 99% of the time, the team that makes the most errors will lose in high school, college, baseball. Like, you're just not good enough to make mistakes and win. And yesterday, just for the hell of it, I'm like, man, I'm seeing a lot of turnovers, a lot of fumbles, a lot of picks, a lot of tip balls. Would you believe, of every single game yesterday, I mean, this is no glass-breaking revelation, but only one game did the team win that had more turnovers. And that was a game that should have been won easily by the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay had two turnovers. By the way, one of them was an Aaron Rodgers pick six. And did you see that stat where it's his second pick six in over 3,500 attempts at Lambeau Field?
Yes, I did see that. I saw a lot of interesting stats this weekend that we're going to get to.
We're talking like the Jags. They just fell short against the undefeated Eagles. You know what the turnover numbers were? 5-1. Fumbles.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence looking great, but can't hold on to the ball in key moments. So,
and you can't expect to beat the Eagles.
No.
With five turnovers. So, yeah, bad game for him. Your observations from week four, things that make you go, hmm.
Even your game, Danny G. Only one turnover, but you know who it was?
Yeah.
The Broncos, when they coughed the ball up into the Raiders' hands for
Amik Robertson.
That was a dope play, right?
The way he glided into the end zone. The best part was that Broncos lineman who dove. He did the fake dive at the 5-yard line, like he was going to dive and make the tackle in the end zone.
Just for the effort, just so they don't, just so they can make fun of him on the tape this week.
I think Amik Robertson looked like a pretty confident Robertson this weekend. If you ask me,
not so Meek.
Yeah.
All right. Other takeaways. 877-99 on Fox. What about DK Metcalf being carted off the field? And if you had just turned on the game, you might be like, oh my God, is he hurt? What happened to DK? This guy just got paid $70, $80 million.
You didn't even have to be watching because these memes and these clips, they go viral instantly, right? So if you're on social media and you're just scrolling, doing the ball scroll, as we say, you're doing the ball scroll, you see him getting carried off. You're like, wait, what happened?
Oh no.
Right.
Turns out he just had to go to the bathroom. And he confirmed it by saying the little, if he tried to do a little scoot to the bathroom and walk himself, he would not have made it. So it's funny because the Seahawks won, right? But yeah, DK Metcalf had to leave the game to take a number two.
You know what it makes me think? I mean, we all have to use the bathroom from time to time. Let me let you in behind the velvet rope. Every time a commercial hits here on Fox Sports Radio, Rich and I go to the bathroom. I do the little, how do you do? You know what the how do you do is? Just check my hair, look in the mirror, and say, how do you do? Do it all right? All right. And, you know, and I come back.
I mean, if you are like going to the bathroom every commercial break, you should get your prostate checked. I'm just saying. I mean,
I just need a little break, refresh, come back, wash my hands.
Shouldn't be going to the bathroom once or twice an hour.
It does make you think what Scott Hansen does on Red Zone. Does it not? What is that? How many hours? Seven?
He's got a Peebo.
Yeah.
How does Scott Hansen?
He's got to have the Peebo, which is the apparatus. You know.
Think about it. If Metcalf is, you know, being like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom.
Ooh, my tummy.
Oh, wait, man. I shouldn't have ate that. Right? Or maybe he just drank too much. Whatever he had to do, it does make you wonder, was Scott Hansen ever asked to use the bathroom? Does he take a headset into the urinal? How does that work during Red Zone, I wonder?
It's like Leslie Nielsen in Naked Gun. What if he kept it on? He started peeing in the bathroom with Leslie Nielsen style.
Hey, nature calls. We observed it. Your takeaways from week four.
Real quick, don't the coaches always tell players, I know I do, always tell your players, if you have to go to the bathroom before the game, go now.
Yeah. No, it's right? It's like your kids. Yeah. Emmy, we're going to, we went to Night of the Jacks last night in Calabasas, a little like Halloween display. And she's like, I don't need to go. And I'm like, go to the bathroom now, because we're going to be in the car. We're going to be there. You're not going to a porta party. I don't need to go. Go now. That's what coaches need to do to players in the locker room.
I guess
all right,
so.
All right, boys. Who needs to use the potty? All right, because we're about to play an NFL football game.
Are you sure, DK? Are you sure?
I am. All right.
You know what? Just go, just in case, all right? So, another takeaway. Things that make you go,
And
by the way, we want your phone calls, 877-99 on Fox. There are no wrong answers. These are your observations, things that crossed your mind while watching the games. You know, for some reason, maybe because you and I were on TV when he was coming up in New York City, Geno Smith.
Yeah.
Geno Smith was a Jet. Remember when we were on SNY?
Of course.
I've always sort of followed his career. So
we got a raw deal because he, like, got hurt in a locker room incident.
Yeah, yeah.
And never really sort of lost
a
chance.
Good break, and he was on a doo-doo team, and now he gets this chance. I couldn't help but notice that they're now 2-2. He's got 108 passer rating, 1,037 yards, 6 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions, which is significantly better than Russell Wilson, who's at a 91.1% quarterback rating, 980 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception.
I mean, they're close. It's not like he's significantly better.
I mean, he's got over 1,000. Russell Wilson does not. He's got 6 touchdowns. Russell Wilson has 4. He's playing his tail off. That's my observation. Yeah, I mean, you can't help but compare. Well, then where's Wilson at?
Well,
Both 2-2.
They're playing decent. They're playing similar enough football to say, oh, wow. Like, is Geno Smith delivering, or is Russell Wilson just not what Denver thought they were going to get? And I think it's a little of both.
I was going to say a little of both.
I think Geno is like, oh, that's right. Geno Smith was the guy people believed in before all this.
I mean, people wrote him off. He ain't right back, though. So he's getting a fair shot, and Russell Wilson just maybe not where he should be at this point
now. I'll give you one for all the Steelers fans. And now...
And by the way, I don't think that's a personal knock on Russell Wilson. I think he still has it. I just think he's figuring it out.
I think he has bad coaching.
Right.
Can only do so much. Steelers fans, Chiefs fans, I saw this because of LeVar Arrington from Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. I saw him put this on social media, and I forgot it was him. I'm like, who posted this? I loved it. He got the video. I missed it, where they did a story on Juju Smith-Schuster, and he said he learned more in the last few months with Andy Reid and the teammates around him than he learned in all of his 5-plus years in Pittsburgh together. Which, yo, that's ultimate shade. He is like an ultimate burn to Mike Tomlin, to Big Ben, to any of those guys around him in the receivers room, to Antonio Brown, to any other guy that he played with in Pittsburgh.
You can't help but make that observation when you hear that clip.
Well, because we're so trained now that the political correctness in sports answers are like, you know, it's a great opportunity. I'm just here to, you know, win. And this
we're
was
also
straight up-
taught not to burn any bridges either, right? And yeah. He pretty much threw him under the bus.
Well, pretty much saying Andy. When he said Andy Reid, quote, let your personality out and shine, which is also a knock at saying people in Pittsburgh contained him. Like everything he said in that quote in that sideline interview that was reported is a sneak diss, pretty open diss, to be honest, at Pittsburgh.
Absolutely, that was a clear takeaway of mine too. I heard the same thing, and I had to pause and say to myself, wait. How long was he at Pittsburgh? That was one of those moments where I had to Google it real quick. I'm like, he was with Pittsburgh and Tomlin for 5 years, and he's learned more already from Andy Reid. Wow. And that made me go,
Speaking of Pittsburgh, they lost to the Jets. Again, turnover battle, 4-2. Tip passes. Pickett debuts with 3 interceptions. Again, some of them are not as dirty as you think. They're tip passes.
When you see Wilson doing the gritty in the end zone and doing dances like that, reminiscent of like an overly confident Baker Mayfield, does that make you go, when you say to yourself?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you like it? It's just part of the game nowadays.
I like how Saleh has the Jets believing that they're not awful anymore. He came with a vibe.
That's not Salas Imhotep.
It's not the dude from Indiana Jones.
The mummy.
The mummy, I'm sorry.
Imhotep.
Yes.
The mummy.
Imhotep.
I'm telling you, he's a winner.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season 1, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season 2 because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going
to
pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season 2 of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner, homie.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season. And guess what? So are we. Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a six-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, we are Covino and Rich. Yeah. Hope you had a nice weekend. Let's have a great week.
Let's do it.
Ooh. Again, I'm Covino. That is Rich. Spotty's here. Danny G. Ramos. Hey. Dan Byers, the show.
Cooper Rush, good for him. CeeDee Lamb. If you missed the fake move, the fake, the juke he put on this guy.
Yeah, but you hear what they're saying, too. They're saying that Rush and Lamb are gaining some chemistry throughout these weeks. That maybe, well, let me, I feel like let it was implied that Lamb and Prescott don't have. I don't know.
Let me stop you right now. Oh, I'm not saying you're insinuating this, but anyone that's like, well, what if Cooper Rush just keeps winning? This is not a Russell Wilson, Matt Flynn.
No, let's put
Russell Wilson in and sorry, Matt Flynn, you're out.
It just made me go.
They gave Dak so much money and, you know, he's the future of that team. So, Danny, Ramos, answer this. Is there any circumstance in which the Cowboys would stick with Cooper Rush? It sounds insane. No way, right?
No way.
It would have to be that for some reason Dak couldn't come back because the injury didn't heal properly or something like that, and Cooper Rush took him deep into the playoffs. Then you would have a real controversy. But Jerry Jones aside,
this is insanity talk. So I don't
call him Dr. Jones.
I don't want you to think I'm insinuating this, everybody. I'm just saying they're 3-1. Let's say
you're just saying.
Let's say it's a couple more weeks. Let's say they're 5-1, or maybe even 6-1, and then Dak comes back. Let's say Dak drops 2 in a row. It wouldn't change anything, but it would have fans.
I'm just saying
talking
to the chemistry that you could noticeably see developing that isn't always necessarily there. No one's debating that Dak Prescott's not the money guy and the guy you want out there, but
no, it just says
he's playing well.
It says that no matter what you do for a living, You never know what you're capable of until you're given the opportunity, because Cooper Rush, 223 yards, two touchdowns.
You said that with Geno Smith.
I think his next 2 weeks are important. He plays the Eagles, and then he plays the Rams. And the last 2 weeks, he's had the Commanders and the Giants. So I think did he beat the Bengals, or did he come into that game? That's where Dak got hurt. They won that game. They beat the Bengals 20-17. I can't remember if he came in halfway or if he – but, yeah, the next two games will be a good barometer of where he's going.
Because what could happen – Ramos is 100% right. He could play two top-tier teams now in the Eagles and Rams, drop two in a row, and everyone's like, come on, Dak, get back! When do you stop identifying as a resident of your childhood hometown?
Never. It's called pride. It never goes away. It's where I'm from. It's who I am.
Do you hear this guy?
Yeah.
Well, it's called pride. It never goes away. Oh!
Former
Union, New Jersey, born and bred.
Former wiffle ball champion, wiffle ball legend, 27 Little League home runs. Steve Covino from Union, New Jersey. I'm proud of that. I don't know if you can relate to that, being from Franklin Square.
I'm just saying. You're like,
how many years did it take you guys, though, to feel like this is home now?
Never.
Like when you're landing at LAX, though, coming back from somewhere.
My daughter's going to be 13.
Couple
right?
years.
Home for me is still
but
New Jersey.
Your daughter that says that
live
you
in LA.
Your daughter that told you you had a dad bod last week?
Yeah, what about her?
Oh, that, yeah.
By the way, she starts cross country today. It's always an odd feeling when you as a parent know nothing about
like,
what they're getting.
What a coincidence.
Into.
Dad moved cross country, too.
No. He's trying to relate, you know.
Yeah. That's really all I
know
about
from Union, New Jersey. His moved from Union, New Jersey, born and bred, to Los Angeles.
His daughter sprung on him today, like, Dad, you're going to have to pick me up at the track meet today after work. And
well,
she's like, what?
I always encourage her.
It's like, I love meat. Well done, please.
It's interesting because I grew up loving sports, right?
Yeah.
But I also rock out, let's be honest about it.
Jeez, please pull that clip forever.
I mean, I'm just being honest.
I love sports,
but
I also love to rock out his promo
I'm
forever.
I'm the guy you hear on Turbo 41 on SXM every night. I'm the same guy.
I'm a rocking dude.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, man.
So I also encourage my daughter to...
If I didn't love you, I would hate you so
pick
much.
Pick up the arts, right? But I've always encouraged her to do sports, but she always showed zero interest in sports. And there's always that fine line of parenting where you don't want to force a kid, but you want to nudge them, right? Yeah. If they show potential. So I gave her the sports nudge, and she finally, out of the blue, took me up on it. But of all things to join, it's not like something I could help her with. Like
10 years. When someone goes, where are you from? It's the vacation question, Ramos. Like, you're away on vacation with your friends or your wife or husband. You're away with family and friends. And someone goes, hey, where are you from? You meet at the swim up bar. Am I from L.A. or am I from New York? I've been out here
from
7 years.
Man.
My kids are from out
We're
here.
We're always from the East Coast. We live on the West Coast.
All right. That's
the answer, though. Right. So I'm always from... I was raised in New Jersey. I moved down here 13 years ago.
You say Franklin Square, Long Island. The only pride I take in my hometown is they have a good bagel spot. A&S Bagel. Besides that, I couldn't care less about Franklin Square, Long Island. So, Covino and Rich, Fox Sports Radio. Now... maybe I'm a little bummed because my pals that are from originally Franklin Square, Long Island, the guys I played Little League with, the guys I grew up with that I rooted for the New York Mets with, during the 2015 season, I randomly group texted like a handful of my Met fan friends. And I'm like, wow, Mets are looking pretty good. Hope all is well with you guys. And this little text that I sent turned into, it sounds corny, like a regular thing. And all these years later, this group of buddies that I, you know, grew up with, we text about the Mets. And as you can imagine, different personalities. If you have like a group text.
What's the name of your group chat? Did you name it?
Yeah, it's just like LGM.
Oh, because like, I remember what it used to be called. That's why I asked.
LGM 22. Let's say you're on a group chat with all your Lakers buddies. Or all your Cleveland Browns pals.
I think it's fair to say that everybody has maybe a group message. Maybe not like 10 people deep like Rich has.
No,
but
it's only four.
Four people where all you do is talk about your sports team. I got that.
Listen, you might have your Red Sox thread group text.
Well, I think you compartmentalize your friends in a weird way. Like, hey, this is my work friend. This is my Yankees guy friend, you know? I think we do that. These are my childhood buds. These are my college pals.
Now,
but I do have what I call, like, my Yankees friends. So I'm with you.
I probably wouldn't like many of them. The group chat is called 27 Rings.
Oh, yeah, very, very hateable. Yeah,
very hateable group chat.
Just kidding. But yeah, I do have my friends categorized in my mind.
Now, what you realize when you bump into different friends over the years, and it doesn't matter what team they root for, you have optimistic friends and you have the pessimistic, negative Nancy type of friends.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, I got kicked off of the Mets chat because I'm too positive of a guy.
After 7 years of dedication?
Like, yeah, we can't handle you right now.
Wow.
Like, you know what they're like? There's a guy we used to work with at SNY New York, Sal Licata.
Yeah.
I think he's on WFAN in New York now, too. Good guy.
Yeah,
but he's the type of guy that he's the type of guy that's like, season's over. I can't stand people that overreact.
You know what? When Rich and I agree, it's fact. And I'm with you because I follow Sal. And it's annoying. It's always the glass is half empty and doom and gloom and, oh, season's over. Oh, stick a fork in it. It's always like the worst reaction. It's like, it's almost like, it's like a big bait. You're acting like a big sports baby.
Stop being a baby, all
right? That's really it. So I'm with you.
No, they are.
All right, big sports baby.
Put in your diaper, sports baby. And you know who we got? We got one of the guys.
Okay.
On my chat, Michael Azito, who all lives up in Syracuse, New York. One of my buddies. I've known this guy since we played Garden City South of Little League together. And Mike, why am I too optimistic?
Listen, I love you. I don't miss you. You're not missed. What's up, everybody? So
what's up, Mike?
You are annoyingly optimistic to the point where I pulled quotes. You don't get frustrated. You say we overreact. You don't react. How are you so passionate about the Mets and all their wins and losses and everything else? You just don't care.
Let's hear the quotes you pulled.
I got quotes. We're talking July 10th, okay? After we were up, what, 10 and a half games?
Yeah.
Here's a quote. Actually makes every day a little more exciting. Would you rather be up 10 games or tied? Way more exciting this way. I'm sorry, what?
That is like annoying perspective.
10 and a half game lead.
That's annoying. It really is.
Okay.
It's like he's speaking like factual, you know, look at, they're crumbling before our eyes, and you're trying to like find this really desperate twist to put a happy spin on it.
Right, give me one more, Mike. Pick your favorite. Give me one or two more.
I got two real quick ones.
Yeah.
How about 7 days ago, man, does it get, we're talking like 8 a.m. in the morning. I got to wake up to this. Man, does it get any more exciting than this? Yeah, it does. When we were up 10 and a half games, way more exciting.
To me,
I'm so glad you say this, Mike, because this is how I want to pull my hair out dealing with this guy every day. I'm like, yeah, you're making a point, but it's an annoying point. You know, it's not the real point that anyone cares about. It's like Rich's like happy spin.
I want to hear one more. What makes me the annoying
Sunday
Mets
morning.
Fan? Yeah.
Sunday morning, set the tone, right? 10.5 game lead down to 1.5. Now we're talking need to win tonight. This is fun. Meaningful baseball in October. Fun.
It's fun. I tell them,
fun.
I go,
how
what would you rather do?
You have it now, pal.
I was like, do you rather win a game? do you rather your team win a game? Let's say it's football. Do you rather your team win 28-3, or do you rather win 21?
Blow them out. This is where we always disagree. Lizito, this is where Rich and I always disagree. This is sports. I don't care if you clobber them. I'll watch if my team's winning. Clobber them. Yep. I don't care. This is like Rich is in a softball league, right? And he goes, there's a team that just clobbers everybody. I don't see the fun in playing on that team. I'm like, why not? They get 8 at-bats a game. They're clobbering. He's like, but there's no competition there. Where's the fun in that?
I want the bottom of the ninth walk-off.
Yeah,
I want the fourth quarter field goal for the win.
In retrospect, your buddy's right, because look where you are now.
In a fine spot. And this is why I got kicked off.
You would have been in a better spot.
No, I'll tell you. I think this is why I got kicked off the thread, because I said, hey, guys, let's be honest. This might be more exciting because we have a wild card weekend. And if the Mets play the Phillies or Padres, which is what will happen in the wild card round, if they go Scherzer game one and they win, they could go Bassett or someone else game two. If they win that, then they'll have DeGrom and Scherzer ready.
You know what you're doing?
For the NLDS.
Lizito, I think Rich is being like a bad sports boyfriend. You know when a woman or a bad sports husband, when a woman in your life comes up to you with
a problem, right? They're not looking for the happy spin or solution to, you know, the silver lining. They just want you to relate and say, yeah. And they say that all the time. But this guy can't refuse to find the silver lining because he wants his life to be so perfect. Like, no, 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 you don't see it. Now it's better. Like,
I thought of another positive.
We just lost the NL East.
No, I thought of another positive.
There's no positive.
Yo, Lizito, help me out. This is a good one. Ramos, I think Ramos feels me on this. Danny G. Now, the Braves are so hot. This is doing the Dodgers a favor as well. There may be no way to cool down the Braves other than them sitting around for a week.
You could always find a positive spin to anything.
Maybe
Rich.
The Braves sitting around on their asses for a week. Swanson and Acuna, and maybe Max Fried will lose his momentum.
It's a great way to approach life, but the reality is they're sort of losing their steam and their mojo a little bit. And we're seeing the Braves gain it. And we've seen them sweep your Mets. So here's the thing, though. I also hate that super, uber pessimistic sort of vibe where the season's over and the sky is falling and we suck.
One of our buddies started talking about the 2023 roster. I'm like, 2023 roster? The playoffs start next week and the Mets make the playoffs. Get this. I'm sorry this is so Mets intensive, but I'm passionate right now.
I mean, we could all relate.
Listen, the Mets celebrated 60 years this year. Remember, 1962, the Mets became a team when the Dodgers and the Giants both moved out to the West Coast. 1962. 60 years? The Mets average a playoff appearance once every 10 years. 6 postseason appearances. So when my team's in the postseason, wild card or division winner, I'm trying to be positive and enjoy it. I'm not being like, oh, it's over. It's over.
But you're too positive. And just like some people are too negative. There is, and I hate this, but there is a middle ground. Ugh. And that's where you really need to live if you want to be a realistic sports fan. The super negative person's annoying, but the super positive guy, you want to punch in the throat.
I think we're due for a wild card team to win the World Series. What do you think, Mike?
I think Covino's right, and I think you're insane. I don't know how you can like this. I still can't wrap my head about it.
I'll tell you, I love you, man, but...
Yo,
wild card. Are you excited for Mets wild card baseball? Mets wild card baseball this weekend, baby! Mike, have fun. Tell your wife and kids I said hi.
Thank you, Mike. And I'll tell you why.
And if you want to let me back in the thread, I'm open to it.
I'll tell you why it's annoying, and we'll take your phone calls, too, at 877-99 on Fox. You know, what's worse, the super positive sports guy like Rich, where he finds something positive in all the negative? I get it. In life, that's great. But, like, in sports, it could get annoying. Or the guy who's like, season's done.
Yeah. You know what?
They stink.
Let's stick with that. And Danny G, Ramos, I want everyone to assess yourselves.
But I'll tell you why it's annoying.
What's worse? What's more annoying? What do you think you are? Maybe you have a wrong read on yourself. Maybe it's like, oh, I'm the positive guy. And all your friends and family are like, positive guy? You cry when your team loses.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Papi.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner, homie.
The Immaculate Reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball. but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season. And guess what? So are we. Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I want to start by saying that throughout the years, I've always been a Baker Mayfield supporter.
No, not from the beginning. I think he was a bit abrasive.
You thought that.
Yeah, I did. You didn't
feel that way? I liked his dancing. I liked his showmanship. He made the Cleveland Browns relevant. He may not be, you know, a superstar, but Danny G agreed that he
made... You liked when he grabbed his junk?
I did.
No. First, like when he grabbed his junk.
What? I feel as though Baker Mayfield made the Browns relevant, and the Browns sort of backstabbed him a little. They're like, Deshaun Watson, let's take this creepo.
Agreed.
Instead.
Which makes you want to root for him and pull for him even harder. But
only because
he grew on me, man.
You know,
like he came out real arrogant. And you're right, it gave the team an identity, but it was a lot too soon for me, if I'm going to be honest about it. But then he won me over, and it became must-watch, just like you said. So since then, I've been rooting for the guy.
Well,
now I'm just rooting for him, and we're not seeing the results.
It's weird, Camino, because he never was must-watch to me. He was more like, oh, personalities in it. Like,
he gave the team some flair.
He gave them identity. He gave them identity. And now, I did err on the side of like, ooh, I really want Baker to work out in Carolina. He sort of deserves it. I don't care about anyone in that division. So if the Panthers are good, who cares? I don't care about the Saints or the Bucks or the Falcons. So I was like, all right, cool. If Baker delivers, that would be pretty cool.
Well, check this out. He's completed only 54% of his passes this season.
Not so bueno.
Only 4 touchdowns. He was batted down 6 times this weekend. It's like embarrassing at this point.
Yeah,
right?
that's fundamentally just not getting the ball over the line of scrimmage. Like, you're getting the ball batted down how many times?
6.
It was 4 officially. I guess one of the crucial ones was on a 4th-and-1, and that's when the crowd started booing.
Well, that's where I was headed.
Boo! Yeah.
Right. So now the crowd is turning on you, and that's got to be a deflating feeling. But it comes with the territory, right? We already established today that fans are fleeting.
Well, here's what Baker had to say. Take a listen.
So we're going to come together as a locker room. That's exactly how we're going to handle it. I don't really care about the fact that our fans are booing or what's going on. We're going to figure it out. And when we win, it'll still be just us in the locker room. And that's really all I care about. So we're going to be just fine.
Boo, you stink, Baker!
Hate your positive spin.
I never thought I would say this, but I want Sam Darnold.
Rich is way too happy.
So I think he's full of baloney. I don't care. You don't hear it? Give me a break. You're a guy that you're a personality-based quarterback who was a hotshot in college, a top draft pick. You gave the city of Cleveland an identity, which gave you even more swag, to use Mike McDaniel's favorite word from last week.
Swag.
I think that he'd be lying to say he doesn't care, because I'll tell you right now, I care, you care, everyone cares. No one wants to be booed. No one wants to be talked down to, or no one wants to be, listen, to be a radio or TV host, you have to have a thick skin. But you still don't like reading the negative stuff. You could say all day, like, yeah, who cares? I get it. It's part of the job. But do you think people really want to be booed or read mean tweets about themselves and stuff? No one wants that. So I think Baker Mayfield is full of it. Why would he want the boost? In fact, I'll give you a story. I'll take it back to my Mets, you know, the wild card team that's going
to
go all the way.
I would have to say that you're absolutely right, just based on his performance. The guy can't be proud of his performance right now. So you add the boost to that. How in the world could he possibly be stoked? It's just impossible at that point.
Kavino.
And to say that he doesn't hear him.
Kavino, this is a nice story mixed in with all the Mets failing this past weekend for me.
Yeah.
Mets superstar. I'm going to call him a superstar. Eduardo Escobar. One of the most likable dudes in Major League Baseball. Eduardo Escobar, before the Mets collapsed, he had a 5 RBI single-handedly won the game last week. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
It was last Wednesday. Escobar won 2-run home run.
Gary Cohen lost it in the booth.
Yeah.
It's the month of Escobar!
He did. It was great.
And the Mets win!
Now, Escobar struggled earlier in the season, for a long time.
He's struggling.
And you know what?
I don't care about the Mets struggling.
He said through his interpreter, like, I'm very sorry, fans. Lo siento
mucho.
He said, I'm sorry, fans. I'm trying, and I promise you, I hear you, and I will give you something to cheer about. And I was like, that's so honest. And it was like real. It was like, yo, listen, I know I'm struggling. I know I'm not delivering. I hear you. I want to give you something to cheer about. And then when...
It's a great response.
And when he delivered later in the season, it's September, the month of Escobar. He came out and he's like, I told you, fans, just gave me time. And like, I love you guys.
Maybe his translator just made it sound really cool. Maybe that's not what he said at all.
It's possible. But point is, for Baker Mayfield or any athlete to say, I don't care, to say, ¿Dónde está? Where's the library? Yes, he said, the fans.
Hace mucho calor en el baño.
Yo quiero los chicharrones. You want pork rinds? What? No, I said the fans. So look at it this way. Baker Mayfield or any athlete that says, I don't hear them or it doesn't bother me, is full of it. I don't care what they say. Kevin Durant's on Twitter arguing with people. NBA players fight with fans at the games in the stands. It's sad.
It's just like part of the script. That's what I said. What he said is very cliche, and you hear it all the time in sports, but it's impossible to ignore.
Possible to ignore your surroundings.
Feelings.
Dude, look at your boy Aaron
Especially,
Judge.
Hold on, especially when he's the new guy with all the expectations, especially when you have Darnold waiting to come in. So he absolutely hears it and he feels it, but he's saying what he has to say.
Yeah, but I don't like
which
the
is
I don't
like the dishonesty.
Yeah, I don't like the disingenuous, right. Like, oh, I don't care, I don't hear it. It's like your boy Aaron Judge, who's stuck on 61. You're trying to tell me the fans, the family, Maris family, his family, everyone.
I have a whole thought on that. I think the pressure's getting to him so much that, like, I think they need to send the parents and the Maris family home. Like, send them home. Putting too much pressure on this guy.
Well, hey, we'll see you guys tomorrow. And on tomorrow's show, this is pretty cool because we just got word that
they might be making a sequel.
Yeah, they might be making a sequel to one of your favorite sports movies of all time. So we'll let you know what that is tomorrow, and we'll go over some of the best and worst sports sequels of all time.
By the way, they shouldn't make a sequel to this one.
Well, we'll see you guys then. Until then, arrivederci, baby.
See you in the promised land.
At Kobe and Rich. Have
Bye,
a good
guys.
Night.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.